Blog Talk Radio. I'm Cindy Sansone Braff, author of Grant Me a Higher Love, How to Go from the Relationship from Hell to One That's Heaven Sent by Scaling the Ladder of Love. That's a big title. It's a big book. Love's a big topic. The music you heard at the beginning of the show is called Eagerly Pleased, composed with love by my nephew Miles Sebastian. I'm a woman on a mission, and that mission is to have you and everyone else have the best love life possible in this new millennium. But before this can happen, you're going to have to learn a few new tricks. Joining me tonight, as always, is my co-host and producer, Nicole. Nicole's a beautiful young woman, an entrepreneur, a writer, and a lesbian, not necessarily in that order. And she's here to share her love stories and war stories with us. She's the voice that will make all of us women stop blaming everything on the opposite sex, since Nicole knows women are making some of the same kinds of mistakes in their relationships with each other. Well, hi, Nicole. It's been a good week for the gay community. How about marriage being being legal in New York? I want to hear your opinion.
No, well, it's a great, great thing. I'm very, very happy. A lot of my friends who actually had to leave the state to get married are now all excited that as of July 25th, they're actually, you know, legal in New York State. And, you know, it's really, really a great thing, and it really goes to show, I guess, just how much progress is really being made and how, you know, I guess different lifestyles are really just being, you know, more and more accepted. Years ago, I mean, I could even recall myself saying within the last 10 years, you know, that I'll never see, you know, gay marriage, you know, pass through in my lifetime. And here I am 10 years later eating my own words. So I think that it's very, very great. You know, I advise people, the gay people out there that do want to get married, make sure that it's the right person. Don't just run out and get married because you can. You know, I'm going to give them the same advice that I give my heterosexual couples. You know, make sure that it's right and you know, make it, you know, we finally got this right. Let's not, make people wish to change their minds by increasing the divorce rate any more than it already
is. Right. You don't want to be the first historic gay divorce in New York. You know what I mean?
No, not at all. Not at all. But you know what I mean? The divorce rate is high everywhere, you know. I mean, people are making very, very hasty decisions when it comes to marriage. And, you know, I don't want to see a lot of young people, you know, or even a lot of the older people that have just been dying for this right so long, just jump into it just because they can, you know. Make an informed decision. We have the right now, but make an informed decision, you know, because, you know, I did hear a couple of stupid comments over the course of the last week as far as people getting married just because they can. Well, that's not a reason to get married, guys. It's still about love.
Yeah, absolutely. And, of course, I think it's showing we've entered, you know, the age of Aquarius. It is the 21st century. It was wonderful, wonderful news. And, of course, it gives people the chance to have a marriage and to commit to that love. And it's just wonderful. And anyway, we seem to have a lot of callers. If anybody is having trouble calling in, I feel bad for them because I kept calling in and they kept saying that there were no shows scheduled for 24 hours. So I'm glad I finally got through. Poor Nicole was sweating it out. She was going to have to, like, you know, start getting out the Ouija board and the little magic eight ball.
Yeah, you know, I was ready to go and grab my tarot cards and just start cleansing them and then pulling some cards in it.
That you're so funny. Anyway, I know we have a lot of callers. I know you don't usually screen the first call.
No,
so
I never screen the first one, so we're going to jump over to the 785 area code. This person has been waiting such a long time, so just so you know that we're identifying you, your last four digits are 3089, so we're going to say hello right now. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, and this is Cindy, and where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Colorado.
Wow, and you were waiting so patiently. You're very smart. You know, if you call in early enough, you certainly get read.
Yeah, that was my hope.
Great.
That was my
and
hope.
You have a specific question that you want to ask us or something you want to share with us?
Yeah, I'm currently having kind of an issue with you could call him my boyfriend, but we haven't really been seeing each other for like a year and a half. But I'm very committed to him, and he is to me too, but we just have other people, outside influences kind of influencing our situation. And I was really wondering, how do I put this? Like, lately we've had other people kind of influencing the situation, and I'm wondering how much he's aware of the truth, because...
Okay. How old are you, by the way?
I'm 35.
And how old is he?
33.
Okay, so you're not, you know, babies. You're definitely grown-up, mature people. Your generation tends to be major commitment phobics, and it's hard for them to, you know, say the relationship word. They may look for excuses to run from it. You have to get some of the blinders off right now. He's not being totally honest with you. Are you aware of that?
Hmm.
Where does he live? Does he live near you?
He lives in Colorado.
Okay, so he lives close enough to you for you to visit, you know, it's within driving distance of each other?
Right.
Okay, and how long had you been together before this sort of not being together? How many years?
Let's see, 3 years? 2.5 years?
Okay, because relationships tend to work in 5-year cycles. How long have you known him altogether now?
Oh, I probably met him when I was about 4 years old.
Okay, so you've known him like a long time. And at this point, you know, you said you haven't really been together for a year and a half. I think you're being a little too patient here. You know, to God, only love matters. And at this point, you know, with soulmates, and you definitely started out as soulmates. I mean, you were brought together as kids. I mean, that's, you know, unusual to even in that. But at this point, are you wanting to bring it to the next level?
I want there to be, you know, open communication with us and not have these other people outside getting involved with our relationship and getting in the way.
And again, these are family members mostly?
Or friends.
Okay, because...
that have their own motives.
Okay, and of course, a lot of times people don't want to see you happy. But no one can put soulmate love asunder unless you're both afraid of commitment at this point. You know, you're getting to the age where do you want to get married or do you want to have that additional commitment?
Marriage is not important to me. I mean, I am married in several ways, so I don't need a legal paper.
You mean to him, but do you live together? You haven't been together in a year and a half, I thought you said.
Right.
So how could that be a marriage? If, you know, marriage is a heart, soul, mind, body, committed love.
Yeah, and we are committed with each other. I mean, neither of us have, you know, we're not looking for other people or anything like that. So, I mean, I think that the situation is just very, very complicated. So,
I see at some level, you have blinders on. He's not being honest with you, and you need to start talking to him. What do you think he's doing for sex for the last year and a half?
Hasn't been.
According to these cards, it looks like he's not as honest with you as he's saying. And, you know, if you're thinking, you know, you're just waiting for him because he's not with somebody else, you might need to get the blinders off and realize that he's really not being honest with you. And he's letting these people influence him. He's a grown man. And, you know, you're being pretty patient with him. But at this point, it looks like this can go on for years. Do you want to, like, have a relationship where it's almost like you don't have one? How often do you talk to him or communicate?
Last week was the last time that I talked to him. And, you know, I told him he had to talk to his friend because I wasn't going to tell him, you know, what his friend said. His friend would have to tell him that. And since then, he hasn't called me.
Right. So, I mean, to me, it's he's a commitment phobic. He's giving, you know, he wants his cake and eat it too. He wants to go out with his friends, have fun, be a boy, and still have you waiting in the wings. I don't think we've come this far in liberation to have men go back to that old role model. You know, he's like, you're like the wife waiting at home. And, you know, he thinks you're not going anywhere, so he could go on like this for years. Another woman who wanted a man to be with her heart, soul, mind, and body would have already put her foot down and said, I can't do this one foot in, one foot out relationship, either stick 2 feet in it or take 2 feet out. And
well, that's the whole reason why I haven't been with him for a year and a half.
Is because he wouldn't stick 2 feet in?
Well, it's really because he's letting these outside influences affect our relationship, and I would rather, you know, not have it be that unstable.
And again, you must have your own fears of commitment to settle for a relationship that's in your, you know, in your mind more than it is in these cards at this point. You know, he thinks he can walk back in your life anytime he wants to. It's pretty toxic love at this point. It's, you know, no matter what you do or I do, we don't abandon each other. But, you know, in terms of you, you might want to examine why you would settle for this. I want you to love yourself the way you would love your own daughter. If a man was doing this to your daughter, would you think it's acceptable? Or would you be angry?
Well, if my daughter doesn't care to get married, I mean...
Yeah, but we're not... It's not about,
you know,
marriage.
I mean,
it's about a relationship that, you know... I mean, if you're happy with the way it is, then that's fine. But it doesn't look like you're happy with the way it is.
Well, no. I mean, that's obviously why I'm calling in.
Right. And again, this is up to you to move it forward and be pretty honest about, you know... That, you know, this is not acceptable, you want more, and can he come to the plate? If not, this is going to go on like this for years. And if you're happy with that, you know, that's fine. But nothing's going to change unless you make a change. He's happy with the way it is. You know, he has his cake and eat it too. You're waiting for him. And, you know, I'm not seeing that there's really even a relationship here. It's more in your mind than it is here for him. I mean, he's off doing his own thing. And again, no one can influence our relationship. Nicole, are you listening to this discussion? I'm not sure if Nicole's there, but
no,
again,
I'm
listening.
I
mean,
You
know, to me, I'm getting the impression that, you know, this is not going to change. This is major commitment phobia, even on your part. You know, only a closet commitment phobic would tolerate a man not being with them. You're young. Don't you want a man to be making love to you, to be talking with you, to come see you, to put you above his friends? Soulmate love comes above family, friends, everything. It's the primary unit. And, you know, this is, you know, up to you to examine why you would accept the way he's behaving to you. It's, you know, and he's not going to change unless you do. And, you know, if you really take 2 feet now and say, I can't talk to you, I can't communicate to you unless you call me and your intention is to stick 2 feet in this and let's have a relationship. Because otherwise, really, there's no change going to be here. This could go on for another 5 years. Well, you know, call us in the near future. Let us know what happens if you say something. Again, I'm not sure you want change. Do you want change?
Yeah, I mean, I would want, I'm not happy, like I said, with the way it is and how, you know, other people get in our relationship, but,
the other people can't get in a relationship if he's committed to it. He wouldn't care what they have to say.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to agree with Cindy on this one, and only because, I mean, as anybody that has ever listened to the show can tell you, you know, I mean, I had my own bouts with being commitment phobic and things of that nature, you know, and the bottom line is that nobody, when I fully committed to something, nobody could stand in my way. Nobody can tell me what, you know, what was what. You know, I didn't want to hear it from anybody once I'd made, you know, an actual commitment. So obviously if other people are influencing either of you in any way, shape, or form, then there's a lack of commitment there, and there is room for that doubt in there. And that's something that if it's happening on his part, like I said, I've been popping in and out screening calls or whatever, so I wasn't on the line for the entire time. But if that sense of doubt and if he's being spoken to by other people and he's actually entertaining them and listening to what they're saying, then obviously he does have a shadow of a doubt where he's looking for some sort of an excuse to follow what other people are saying versus follow, you know, his own way and do what he feels is right. You know, and if that's happening on your part, then you're the one that's you know, having a little bit of doubt in there, even though you might not want to realize it, even though you might, you know, be a little bit scared at it. You know, understand that fear is okay. It's okay to be afraid of things, but at some point, you have to face that fear and you have to say, okay, fine, this is what I want, this is what I need, this is how I'm going to go about, you know, facing this fear and getting what I want and what I need. You know, you can't just sit back and be a spectator in your own life and then expect change, you know, to occur, and neither can he. So your best bet is to face your fear, say, listen, I'm not happy with the situation as it is, either we're going to fix it together or we're not, and be done with it.
Exactly. Well, anyway, we've got a lot of callers, and good luck to you. And I hope, you know, you have the courage to move things forward for your own sake.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck to you.
Bye.
Nicole,
okay,
I see you.
Cindy.
Are you the one who's written some things on here in our new studio?
That is me.
I love it. Okay.
Isn't it cute?
I
see,
think
now
this
you
is
can see the callers that I've screened, as, you know, unlike the old ones. So, that is me, and actually, we are going to move over to Rachel in San Francisco right now.
Okay.
She left the company after 16 years. She left under very, very stressful circumstances. All right. And her former employer has been, you know, and she used this word, not me, has been haunting her. You know, I mean, he's calling her, and you know, she really just wants to know, you know, like, what is going on in this guy's head. You know, I mean, he's calling her, and she didn't leave, like I said, under good circumstances. So you know, she's really, really baffled by his behavior at this point. So we're going to speak to Rachel in San Francisco. Hello, Rachel, you're on the air.
Hi there. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Rachel. Oh my goodness. Did you know him to be a crazy stalker when you worked for him?
Well, I suspect, knowing him, that he is borderline manic depressive bipolar. Now, since my departure, which was 13 months ago, he called me on my birthday last July to ask me out for lunch. He called me in December to wish me happy holidays. He called me about 2 months ago, and last year I didn't have the courage to say things to him because I was so numb after leaving my career, and now I don't have a job. It was not until about a couple months ago that I had courage to say things to him. And then he calls again on Saturday, which I did not pick up the phone. And I want to know why is he trying to stay in contact with me? I want to move forward. I want to move away from him and move forward with my life.
Did you ever have an affair with him? Because there is a love affair here. It looks like there was more than just his being your boss at one point.
In the past, yes.
Okay, because that, you know, that was very clear. I'm glad you admitted it, because, you know, otherwise I'm going to have a hard time doing a reading if you're going to,
yes,
you know, not tell me the truth. He never got over you, and it's pretty, he looks like he's a pretty toxic guy. Like, I mean, in the beginning it looked like you guys probably had a good relationship. You're an old soul. You brought out the best in him. You know, now he's kind of the prince that's become the beast. He wants a relationship with you. Is he married? Because it looks like he's married in these cards.
No, he's divorced.
Okay, but does he have another primary relationship?
He got involved with somebody last November, and I'm not sure if he's dating her still. I don't know.
Right, because there is another relationship in these cards. He's still after you, and, you know, Did you end the relationship on a toxic note when you left your job? Or did you leave your job because of this?
No, the relationship ended a long time prior to my departure, and it just faded into nowhere. The relationship just disappeared on its
right.
own with no hard feelings or anything like that. But I left because I had to take my dignity with me, and it was how he was treating me. He was very emotionally abusive, and I call it emotional rape. He humiliated me, put me down. It was just horrible. I don't even want to go
over
that.
Well, that's because it was toxic. He didn't want the relationship necessarily to end, but he wasn't able to really move it forward in any way. It became a pretty toxic love affair at the end. He, you know, he's a man who thinks he owns women. Like, in some ways, he can't believe you left him. He still thinks he owns you.
Mm-hmm.
I would be pretty clear and tell him he's not to contact you. The problem is, if he's your former boss, if you don't have a job yet, when people call to find out if you work there, what is he going to tell people?
Right. And I'm, you know, I have so many credentials and skills and well-educated, and I'm just struggling to find a career, a new
position. Did you have people call to find out what he tells people when they call to find out about you?
But nobody, an interview has never gone that far where they are asking for references or maybe they call the other employer.
Okay, but I'm just saying you got to be careful because he could give a really bad, you know, reference to you. But at this point, I would just tell him you're involved with someone, you have a relationship, and you know, and I would appreciate it if you don't call me anymore, and try to get him off off that way, because otherwise, he looks like he'll keep bothering you. By the way.
And do you see that he's a little mentally imbalanced, or is it just me who sees this?
No, he is definitely emotionally imbalanced. There's no doubt about that. Again, he's a person who thinks that he owns you, that he has a right to still communicate with you. That's what I'm saying. Because he's emotionally imbalanced, you don't want to be nasty to him. But, you know, there's a little white lie. You're involved with somebody else, and you can't keep communicating to him. And, you know...
He knew I was involved with somebody else. He knew he knows I'm involved with somebody else.
All right, so then you don't even have to say a little white lie. You know, the
right.
point is basically tell him you're involved with somebody else, and, you know, I would appreciate it if you don't call me. At that point, you know, it looks like he'll back off a little bit. He just still wants to be with you. And, you know, I don't see him really coming to stalk you or anything. I just see at this point, you know, he's just hoping you'll still be with him, even occasionally. And, you know, I guess you made a mark on him, but he is very toxic, you know, and
yeah.
That's why I would advise you not to push that toxic button on him. And,
mm-hmm.
Just say, thank you for thinking about me, but, you know, I'm really involved in you know, that my boyfriend gets upset that you're calling me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, try to say it that way. If you say it more forcefully, you may have a problem.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But, you know, I don't
right.
see him dangerous. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not seeing that.
Right.
I'm just seeing that, you know, he's just thinking. He's the kind of person which every woman he's ever been with has ended on a pretty toxic note because he's abusive. And he's always calling them or texting them. He doesn't let go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, I don't see anything that you have to really worry about, but I would make it clear that, you know, you don't want
okay.
him to contact you. Well, good
okay.
luck, and let us know if anything happens
Thank
in
you.
The future, but it looks pretty okay here.
Got it. Thanks
good
so much.
Good luck to you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Boy, it's a generation where sometimes they never let go.
Oh,
you texting, calling, talking.
No, obviously not.
It used to be different in the day when I was growing up. Like, we only had, like, one phone in a family. Like, you couldn't keep calling because your father would answer the phone and say, what the hell are you calling
exactly.
for? You know what I mean?
I
now
miss
it's
those
like because
days. I do miss those days when you say, oh, my God, I don't want to talk to him. I'm not here. And have that be a good answer.
Right. And
you
and
know what I mean? You don't have
saying,
that option now.
And other people say, my sister hates you. Don't call her anymore. You know what I mean? It's like now it's because of cell phones. Everybody's got this like little secret world where they're married and they're calling cell phones, you know, to their exes and texting and emailing. It's really, It's really made it
very...
Yeah,
it's like if you can't get through on a cell phone, you try, you know, or rather a home phone, you try a cell phone, if you still even have a home phone. You can't get through on the cell phone, you start texting. You can't text your email. You can't email your Facebook. I mean, there's always something.
And I know, and it's like, you know, sometimes that's why the generation, they just seem to never let go. It's really weird. You know, it's really weird. Anyway, I know we have a lot of callers. I see you've written some things, so.
Of course, I have. We're going to move on to Tandy in Arizona now. And right now she's involved in a lawsuit, and she wants to know if she's going to get some money before she goes to trial.
Okay, good.
Hello, Candy. You're on the air.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Candy. Do you want to settle without trial? Is that what you want?
Well, because once you go to trial, then there's a judgment. But he's being ridiculous. I mean, when he loaned me the money, he tacked on a $200 fee immediately, and then he wants to charge me 6% a month interest, which is illegal in the state of Arizona. And I sent him a letter in November, and I said, this is illegal. Your promissory note won't stand up in court. And a month later, he files a lawsuit.
Right.
So
well,
last
you know
Friday,
what? So
last
you're
Friday,
gonna... He's a liar, this man. Are you aware of that?
I know.
Last Friday, what happened?
So last Friday, I switched it. He filed a claim in small claims court, and we were going to go to trial on the 11th of January. So I switched it to the civil courts and the justice courts, stalling for time. Because I've got two clients. One commission might be $18,000 and the other one's like $13,000. So I'm hoping that they'll do their policies so I'll have the money to pay the $2,000 I owe.
Right, and that's a good thing for stalling, and I need to tell you, so you know, you're better off in civil court. I don't know. In New York here, the small claims court are usually arbitrators unless you ask for a trial de novo, and the arbitrators are paid $200 a day and don't want to arbitrate anything. And if you dare ask to go to trial, they don't even listen to you because they'll just go with the person who's got whatever in writing, even if it's illegal. They don't even question in small claims court. A lot of the legalities that a civil court will question the legality of it. In a small claims court, they probably wouldn't even care it's not legal in your state. I mean, that's how frightening it is. So you did the right decision, and it looks like you're going to be able to pay it off. So stalling isn't a bad thing. Once, you know, because it is illegal, I would want him to go all the way to trial because a judge will see that it's illegal and could dismiss the whole case. So, you know, since you know the law, that's pretty important.
Yeah.
It looks like you're going to win, so I wouldn't be too nervous about this.
Wendy, we don't have a court date since at the same time I switch courts, I also ask for it to be dismissed, so he's got 10 days to respond, which you know he's not going to respond, and so he wants it dismissed.
Right, and again, it looks like he's going to want to go to trial because he's a cocky man. He doesn't think, you know, he did anything illegal. He would have won in small claims court probably, by the way.
So when do you see a court date then?
A court date's a while off, you know, again, because courts are pretty backed up.
Yeah.
So it looks like you won't get a date anytime soon. Do you have to not pay him anything in between or do you're supposed to be paying him something now?
Oh, no, I don't have to pay him anything, but I want to have the money when I go to court and say, look, I'll give you $2,000 now and forget about the interest because I've had to pay filing fees and stuff like that. And I think he might be willing to see $2,000 cash in his hand rather than me not paying him anything.
Right. It looks like because it's in front of a real legitimate court, he probably will settle. In small claims court, he wouldn't have.
But you think I'll have the money by the time I get to court, whenever that is?
Yes, you're going to have the money. It looks really good for you. There's two cards that come up with the scale of justice. I just picked both of them. It looks like it's going to come, you know, to an end when the time comes. You will have the money. So between now and then, try to relax and not think about it too much. Just concentrate on getting the money. Visualize yourself with the money and this court settled.
And do you have any idea when that might be, like in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months?
It looks like not immediately, probably at least 2 months to go to trial, at least.
Okay. All right.
It looks very promising. try to understand you did the best things. You know, anytime
right.
you have something like this, you know, I know I just went with my landlord to small claims court, and the arbitrator could care less about the case, took the easy answer, even though the man didn't have my security in a separate account, which is illegal. I should have won. But he didn't care.
Right.
The guy said he had it.
Right.
The guy said he had it. He purged it under court. So that's why now I'm going back to trial de novo for a real judge who will ask him for it in writing.
But usually in Arizona, if you go to small claims, you can't appeal it or change it once they decide on the outcome on small claims. That's
Because do you have judges there to begin with? Because in New York, because they only have arbitrators, and we have the right to be seen in front. And anybody who's listening out there is from New York. I hope you realize that there are arbitrators in Suffolk County that they're not really judges. So you have a right to ask them to get a judge. That's why they allow it, because you're not being seen by a judge.
Right, but usually in the justice courts, there are no judges, just people that have been elected. So, no, they have never had any law degrees here either.
I know, and that's what's the difference. Usually, any time you could go in front of a real judge who wears robes, people tend to perjure a little less there. Do you know what I mean? And they do ask for more formal paperwork. Your outcome looks really good. So just relax, concentrate on making money, visualizing him accepting your offer. And, you know, and you will have the money. It looks really good for you.
Do you see the $18,000 commission or the $13,000 coming anytime soon?
I see a new source of money and good money here, so.
Oh, good.
Like,
thanks.
There's two sources of money. Actually, you have, like, good money coming, so just relax. Try not to lose. What I tell people is in between, you know, this is a – I don't know if Nicole agrees with this, but in this economy, everybody seems to be suing everybody. So the only thing you could do in between is just lay low. I mean, I just – settled my parents' estate, and my brothers are fighting war, and I have a feeling I'm going to be in court with them. So, you know, I said it seems to be everybody wanting to take everybody to court. So in between things, we just have to relax and live.
Yeah.
Because otherwise,
right.
you know. Good luck to you, and thanks
Thank
for calling.
You.
Bye. Okay, Nicole, we're off to see, where are we now?
We're off to see Toria in Savannah, Georgia.
Okay.
And basically, there's kind of, sort of, someone special at work, and, you know, there's a definite attraction there, and she wants to know what exactly she can do to kind of further things along, shall we say.
Okay, let's see.
Hi.
Hello, Tori, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How about you, Tori?
I'm good.
Looks like a strong attraction here. I mean, I got the soulmate card. With him, he's a little bit nervous to take it forward. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And first of all, because you work together.
Yeah.
Sometimes
yeah.
it doesn't work out. That's always pretty messy.
Right. And
so,
I work
in
the film industry, so that industry gets small really quick.
Right. And so he's a little reluctant, but... you know, you can kind of move it forward if you want to. He's a kind of a person that, you know, he's definitely drawn to you. You know, whatever project you're working on now should be very successful, by the way.
Okay, I just finished the project with him. I'm actually away finishing up some coursework, and then I'll be back where he is. So.
It looks really good. Are you going to be working together again, or is that project totally over and you're not going to be working with him again?
Project's totally over, but at first I thought, okay, maybe someone just has a really bad memory, but he introduced himself like 3 different times on set to me, and it got to the point where at the wrap party, I was just like, yeah, I've met you 2 other times, because he was like the director of the thing. And I want, you know, you guys to, like, get, like, I don't know, different ideas about me. But I'm not the type of person that's, like, the cat.
No, we're not getting any ideas about you. You're a little bit shy, what I can tell here. And you're a very nice girl. And you're not the type that's going to sleep your way to the top, you know. So we're not getting
yeah.
that. He's a very successful man, according to these cards, by the way. And, he's a person who, you know, looks like, you know, there's an attraction to you, even though, you know, he acted like he didn't know you. But, you know, you could drop some hints when you see him that you're drawn to him. You know, he's a bit of a womanizer. Are you aware of that?
No.
I mean, that doesn't mean you can't snag him, but I'm saying he definitely, there's definitely attraction here. And you could, you know, kind of, you know, drop some hints and let him know how you feel and try to, you know, see where it could go. You know, and there is definitely attraction between the two of you.
Okay. So you aren't, it sounds silly, so you aren't picking up on, like, that he's, like, seeing someone or anything? I mean, honestly, at this point, it's one of those things where I'm just kind of like, why would I go after someone who's already with someone, you know?
Right. Sometimes because we're afraid of commitment, so that person's not available. I think, you know, he tends to be a person who does have a few things on the fire at all times. And you're definitely going to have a husband very soon, by the way. There's a soulmate coming, whether it's this man or somebody else. I'm not sure, but you're going to have a really good relationship. Let me describe the man that's in these cards.
Okay.
He's, you know, a very successful man. He makes good money. He's creative. The guy here looks like even if you got close to him, he may run. I'm not sure he wants a relationship. How old is he, by the way?
He's actually like 34. Martin's who we're talking about, the guy that's in the work environment.
Right.
Like.
And he's a little bit afraid of taking it to another level, a relationship, but I would let him know how you feel, and I'll tell you why. What's been channeled to me from all the dead people up there are like, you know, when we die, we get to see what we could have had in life if we weren't so shy. And, you know, if we had met people and told them how we feel, we could have been with that person. You know, later on you get to see. So what do you have to lose, you know, by letting him, you know, even just saying you want to, you know, I find you so interesting. It would be nice to grab a cup of coffee or something, you know. If he, like, blows you off, then, you know, he's not looking for a relationship. He doesn't want one. I wouldn't even take it personally. Sometimes people are not rejecting us. They're rejecting a higher love we may have to offer. And
right.
They're not ready for that. They just want fun and games. And, you know, you're actually a nice person. And, you know, womanizing men sometimes don't want, you know, there are some with a conscience, you know. He knows you're a nice, you know, he knows you're not the sleeping to the top parts, you know, kind of person.
Right.
So it looks like if he blows you off, it's because he wouldn't want to hurt you. It wouldn't
right.
be because he's not drawn to you.
That's a line I've heard, though, more than once from guys.
And
money.
I don't think
it's like,
a line in your case. In actuality, they, you know, they don't want to fool around and fall in love. They just want to fool around. With you, they're going to fool around and fall in love, and uh-oh, that's our biggest fear. So,
right.
You know, that's what I'm saying to you. Why don't you just, you know, drop something casual, let him know how you feel, you know, that you'd like to see him. If he, you know, then move on otherwise, because you know, he definitely is drawn to you, but whether it's going to go anywhere or not, it's hard to tell here. But how old are you, by the way?
I'm 21, so although my age is super young, I feel like the whole dating and jumping from guy to guy, I just can't do that.
Well, you're a very old, wise soul, and, you know, you've had a lot of lifetimes, you know, with old school values. You know, according to these cards, and if you want a little past life on you, you haven't walked the earth in about 100 years. So you're still like, you know, 1900 woman, that those years, and they didn't sleep around. You know what I mean?
Right.
You haven't had a lot of lifetimes in the last, you know, 100 years where you might have come up a little more, you know, to be like, you know, the Sex and the City type of girls, you know.
Right.
That's definitely not you, and men know that about you. And really, when they're telling you, they're not trying to just blow you off. They're actually being like gentlemen. And, you know, you inspire that in people, so. And don't try to be who you're not, you know what I mean? It just doesn't pay.
Awesome. So I guess I'll be looking for Mr. Right soon, as you said.
Oh, my God, there's a soulmate right here. So, you know, this guy definitely has soulmate capacity, the ability to be a heart, soul, mind, body, love. You know, 45% of Americans are offered soulmate love, but only 1% actually maintain it. So, you know, we have about 30 soulmates on the planet. So sometimes we have this great connection and it doesn't work and we wonder what went wrong. It's usually people running away in fear. Well, good luck to you. And you you don't sound 21. You sound, you know, 30 and mature.
Okay.
Isn't she adorable, Nicole? I don't know if Nicole's there, but anyway, you have this great energy, and you know, don't try to be who you're not. And a lot of times, the women who are like really like very, you know, they act like men, they sleep around, and the whole bit. Sometimes their true gender is masculine, by the way. They're running around in a female body in this life. They're men.
Right.
Don't, you know, you're definitely truly a woman. If that's your gender, that's who you are. And, you know, don't ever try to be who you're not.
Okay. Thank you.
Good luck
to
you,
so
and thanks for calling in.
Okay, sure thing. Bye.
Bye. Nicole, are you still there, babe?
I am here.
Wasn't she the cutest thing? Should we adopt her? Did you like her?
Oh, Tori?
Yeah, she was adorable.
Oh, no, she's adorable.
Wow.
She absolutely is adorable.
I know, and it's such refreshing to, you know, to someone that just, you know, is who they are and, you know, not pretending to be anything else. I thought it was cute the way she's saying, you know, I'm not that kind of girl.
You know what, and you know what, I mean, right now I was hopping in and out of the conversation, Cindy, what did she call before, because she had a very, very familiar voice to me.
I don't think so. I know it sounded familiar too, but I don't think so.
It sounded very familiar to me. I don't know, but you know, she was absolutely a sweetheart, and you know, we always wish her the best of luck.
Exactly. Now, I know you've been screening. Do you have a...
I have. All right, so we are actually going to go on to Camille from Alameda, from Alameda, California. All right, and she is into somebody named Dion right now, and she would like to know what energies are around and what really she could expect out of this. So we're going to move over to Camille in Alameda, California. Hello, Camille, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi, Camille. So there's Dion, huh?
Yes, there is.
Okay. What kind of person is Dion?
He's a very charismatic Leo.
With a name, that's why I'm asking you. With a name like Dion, you'd have to be charismatic.
Yes, he is. Very Leo, plays music. Yeah, it's one of those things where when I think of him, for some reason, it's like he affects me at a very deep soul level where I will find myself tapping into emotions that I maybe have not in a long time, if at all.
Wow. Well, that's a soulmate. Even if we're not with them, you know, soulmates don't mean necessarily that they're to last forever, but a soulmate is a muse. It opens our soul, makes us hear music or songs that we've heard before, but we hear them differently.
Yeah.
There's also, when you meet a soulmate, it seems like you keep communing with them even when they're not there. Your mind starts talking to them and you're kind of telling them things.
Mm-hmm.
And
makes sense.
He's definitely a muse here for you. For you, this is good because it's opening your heart. It looks like you've had your heart broken, so you were a little bit closed to
yes.
the whole love thing. And this could be a transition, soulmate. What does that mean? One who opens your heart and soul, you may not be with him on this earth plane, but it still opens you up. To move it forward, you know, have you dated him, or you just work with him, or just see him somewhere?
None of the above. We are communicating electronically a little long distance. I actually live close to where he was born, but he has moved. He has moved out of state, so we are just communicating like that, and making plans to get together at some point, sometime very soon.
Okay, good, because long-distance relationships are often commitment phobics or people who are afraid of relationships can sometimes get involved in a long-distance relationship because it feels safe.
Right.
And you, and that's actually a good thing. If you've been hurt before, you need to take a toe into the love waters. I mean, you can't just take another leap of faith. It's pretty scary. But you don't want this to go on forever. And sometimes
right.
with electronic relationships, they almost become a love affair with ourselves because it's something, he's bringing stuff out in you, but you're not actually having, you know, a heart, soul, mind, body relationship.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been hurt before. Did he tell you that?
Yes, yes. I'm very aware of this.
Okay, and you've been hurt before, so both of you are tiptoeing through. But if you could go back to being those innocent people before you got hurt, that would be good. The problem is that once you do meet up, what happens then?
That's right.
So it's kind of safe because right now it's like you have nothing to lose. So the both of you feel pretty safe, but just know if you do fall heart, soul, mind, body, head over heels mm-hmm. with him, are you willing to move where he is? I mean, soulmates
right.
have to be in the same place. So he could be a transition soulmate, one who opens your heart to love, gets you ready for another soulmate who is the heart, soul, mind, body, committed love. So, you know, go forward with it, but don't too long stay in the waters where you're not really really connecting. Do you know what I mean? In person.
I do.
How long you've been speaking to him or communicating? Do you talk on the phone or is it just email?
Email, text, Facebook, since.
But you see, but not actually talking?
No, we're not doing that at the moment.
Okay, because that's commitment phobia.
Ugh.
Because, you know, soulmates, when you hear their voice, it goes into your DNA and goes, oh, my God.
Right.
You know, and you're by not communicating, you're sort of limiting that connection. So also sometimes electronically, people are not who they say they are. So it's hard to do readings on electronic cards. Electronic. My dad, who died recently, was 89 and going on the internet and pretending he was like 30.
Wow.
And had about 20 girlfriends on the internet. So
okay.
That's a frightening fact, and sending pictures that weren't even him.
Wow.
And didn't talk on the phone. So sometimes people are not who they say they are. They're very narcissistic people who get the emails and tell us what we want to hear.
Well, it's true. I mean, it's just in my situation, we have met before, in person before. It's
good.
Just one of those things when we did meet before, it was about 4.5 years ago, and it was kind of in one ear, out the other, like, oh, hey, how you doing? Oh, okay, well, whatever. And it's so interesting because we have so many similar interests. Where had either of us been ready to sit down and have a conversation, I'm sure we would have gotten along fabulously. It's
right,
just
and soulmates are sometimes brought before we're ready because, you know, relationships work in 5-year cycles. But God would want you, by the time you hit the 5 years now of knowing him, you got to connect again and see what's there. You would have run away scared, both of you, 4.5 years ago.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that. And
now
sure,
you're beginning this opportunity. But the universe is asking you to not keep doing this forever. You know what I mean? Connect, see what's there, heart, soul, mind, body. See if there is a body chemistry there. I mean, what if you get together and it's like totally, you know, the sex is totally like you're just not compatible. Do you know what I'm saying?
I know. I thought about that.
That's why eventually you got to see what's there because soulmates are heart, soul, mind, body. Soulmates have a lot of, you know, sexual energy between them. And that's something that you would want to see. It really looks very promising here, except that, you know, you're both afraid of commitment. So,
I'll say that the sexual energy and electricity is definitely there. And last night, something happened that never happened before. I just kind of, you know, sending messages back and forth, I ended it with, love you. And he returned the love you. And I'm like, whoa, okay. That has not happened before.
Well, good. And that's what I'm saying. It's progressing forward. But you can't have a pen pal. Do you understand?
No, I understand.
But nobody wants a pen pal. So, and I would say to him, why can't we talk on the phone?
Okay,
you got to commit to a phone call.
I will do that.
Do you know what I'm saying? And if he doesn't want to commit to a phone call, you got a major commitment phobic here. And you might
yeah.
as well know it now before you start falling in love with a phantom, with a person who may or may not be. You know, people, the thing about writing is it's like love letters. People, writing is of the soul. So you can communicate better from the soul when you write. But you also need to be able to talk.
Right.
Because that's where the ego gets involved. You know what I mean? You might find, oh God, he can't communicate. He freezes up when he has to talk. And so it's something that, try to take it to that next level, the phone call. Commit to a phone call.
I will.
And then let us know what happens.
Thank you.
Good
Thank
luck
you very
to
much.
You.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Okay.
I think we have time for one more call.
Yes, we do, Cindy.
Okay.
Let me just see here. There we go. All right. This will be our last caller for the night, and I think that you're going to actually absolutely love this caller, Cindy. We're going to speak to Hugh.
Okay. Can you tell us a little about him?
What?
Can you tell us a little bit about him?
Yes. I'm sorry. I'm having trouble scrolling through in my notes here. Okay. We're going to speak to Hugh, who's over in Virginia, but he's originally from Long Island. And his wife has passed. And she taught him this incredible, incredible gift of extending unconditional love.
Wow.
And basically, you know, he has connected with a woman who's in another state. And, you know, he's extending that love to her. And, you know, he'd like to know if, you know, basically he's got a message, Cindy, and he'd like you to kind of, you know, decipher with him as to what that is. So hold on, and we'll speak to Hugh. Hello, Hugh.
Hello. How are you today?
Good. And I'm so sorry for your loss with your wife. And
well, she hasn't left me for an instant. She just transitioned into another dimension because she's still with me constantly.
Absolutely, because, you know, death ends a life but not a relationship, and she's there to prove love never dies.
Well, she taught me the most important lesson life has to teach, and that's unconditional love. Now, I'm puzzled because I came across this woman who is in another state, and she's holding a special spot of love in her heart for the world. And that really touched me, and I'm extending my unconditional love to her, but I also feel a definite romantic involvement with her, too. And I feel somehow my wife taught me what she taught me so that I could be of service to this woman for what she's doing for the world.
Absolutely. And for you who's, you know, you and your wife are definitely soulmates. Heart, soul, mind, body, love. And most people are afraid to love that way because they really are afraid, what if this person dies? I'm going to be devastated. And your wife is, you know, saying this is a good way for you to get back into the world of love. But eventually you're going to have your body in the same place. Are you aware of that? And it's the body that you fear because it is the body that dies. And so it might be safer for you to love heart, soul, mind, without the body right now, but your wife's saying she's not a dead woman. You do need flesh and blood. Your wife is a pretty funny lady. She's saying you don't need another woman that you could love on that plane without having, you know, a physical connection. And, you know, how far away from you is she? What state is she in? What state are you in?
I'm in Virginia. She's in Florida, but I don't want to pressure this woman. She's so special, and she has had 3 marriages, and she had a very strong love that she just doesn't seem to be getting over. So I don't want to pressure her for any kind of physical relationship until she's ready, if she ever is.
Right. And again, this is a good transition relationship for you. You know, there is a point where you might want more. And your wife is glad that you have this woman. Your wife's talking about some children. Did you have children?
I have 2 daughters. And
2 daughters, because there's 2 daughters in the picture here.
Right.
She misses your daughters a lot.
Yes, I know, and they miss her terribly too. And I'm a month and a half after she died, I almost died, and I'm disabled as a result of that. And
because there's a picture of a man with having trouble walking here. Is that you?
Well, I can walk. I mean, I have back problems and things, but I also have COPD and a bunch of other stuff too, and I'm in the VA healthcare system, but you know, I'm coping considering all that I've been through.
Right, and she misses your daughters. And for your daughter's sake, she would eventually want you to show them that we have more than one soulmate, that you get that love again. She likes the woman you're talking to, but
I'm most curious about if she was directing me to this woman somehow.
Right now she is, because she thinks this is something that you can handle as well. How long has your wife been gone now?
She died January 29th, 2007.
Okay, because you're finally getting to move on a little bit. And
yes.
And your wife is glad that you have her and she likes her. But she's saying this woman may not be the one you're going to spend your rest of your life with at all. You know, it looks like something good for now.
Right.
But eventually you may want more and she may not be there to give you that.
Uh-huh.
But it's very, you know, your wife is just glad you have somebody to connect with. She likes this woman. And, you know, in the laws of karma, you're a man who's learning a lot of your lessons. Your wife is saying she wouldn't want to be here without you, by the way.
Well, she was a very, very special woman herself. I was told that we were a starseed couple and that my mother was a starseed also. So I know my purpose, and I think that I couldn't fulfill my purpose if my wife was still here with me. I had to go through things after she passed that I am now able to stand in my truth as an example to others, to face their fears, and to also know we all have unlimited creativity. We're under some kind of an authority since birth, but if we start living from our heart and asking the Creator for divine guidance, we'll get through whatever we have to get through. And I would love to interact with you to tell you a little bit more about who I am. I think you'll find me interesting, and I have
sure.
So I'll leave a message on your 631 number if I can.
Right, absolutely.
I don't have email.
Okay, I can see that you have wonderful energy surrounding you, and you know, the death card came up as soon as we started talking, and your wife's death is still in many ways, you know, fresh in your mind. Although you are moving on, and you are still communicating with her, which is wonderful. She's a person who's saying she had a smooth transition over. She's pretty much at peace, other than she really does miss her daughters. Even though she sits with them still, she gets to be near them. She misses just hugging them and actually talking face-to-face with them. So, you know, she's just telling you she does miss certain things.
Yes, and I'm going to be a grandfather in August for the first time, too.
Wow, and she picked the soul of that newborn baby, so it's going to be a beautiful child.
Oh, great.
And, of course, she knows the child. It's a 9,000-year-old being, by the way, so in a baby's body. And she's just happy that you're okay, and she's very proud of you.
And vice versa. I mean, she was just so, you couldn't ask for a better wife, lover, mother, everything. She was just fantastic for me.
Wow. Well, good luck to you, and we're just about at the end of our show. Nicole, I know she has a shout-out. I don't want to deprive her of her shout-out tonight.
No.
Actually, Cindy, I just want to thank all of our callers and everybody that's, you know, stuck it out with us tonight. We're using a new switchboard tonight. I think that went over, you know, pretty well. So
I think you did great. I was panicking, Nicole, when I saw it and I couldn't get through. I said, no.
Oh, I would have held the fort down, Cindy. You know that much.
And then it just, you know, I think now I'm glad. I didn't realize they were going to make us use the new switchboard.
Yeah,
you know?
I thought we were going to have the option, but you know what? I mean, it worked out well. You know, I think I only had a couple of minor glitches, but otherwise all the callers stayed on, And that's it. So.
And we just were thrown into the water. That's all.
Oh, absolutely. Deep end, baby. Deep end.
Deep end. Well, good night, everybody, and we'll speak to you next week, and I hope you have a wonderful week.
And everybody
Bye.
Have a safe 4th of July. Goodbye.
Bye.